All right, so let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your holy word, in that it is clear just how a Christian should be living, how just we should be busy like the bee. And Lord, as we look at some more points this evening, teach us. And Father, help us to put these things into practice through your beloved Holy Spirit. Just in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you see, let's be, and you have these on your outline. Just we've already looked at 26 of them, okay? Let's be saved. That was the first one. Let's be saved. Let's trust Christ the Savior. Let's be holy. Let's be glad. Let's be clean, confessing sin. Let's be merciful, actively compassionate towards others. Let's be kind, kind-hearted, tender-hearted toward one another. Let's be thankful, grateful for all that we have, for all that God has done. Let's be wise, not fools. Let's be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Let's be steadfast. Let's be immovable. Let's be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's be sober. Let's be vigilant. Let's be ready for his return. Let's be of good cheer. Let's be content. Let's be children of light. And I actually prayed that just for myself today in my prayer time. Let's be witnesses, martyrs for Jesus. Let's be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Let's be mindful, having God's word fixed in our minds, memorizing it, meditating on it. Let's be kindly affection toward one another. Let's be found faithful. Let's be followers, followers of Christ, followers of Paul. Let's be under obedience. Let's be diligent serving the Lord. And then today, our first point, let's be swift to hear. James chapter 1, please. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 19. I almost want to have somebody read that, just like Sunday school, but I won't. James 1, verse 19 says, I will wait till I hear the pages stop rattling. Ruffling. Verse 19. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We are to be slow to speak. Swift to hear. I'm thinking about the second one. First one, swift to hear. And that word swift means to be fleet. That is prompt or just ready, quick, speedy. We should be swift to hear. No, God gave us two ears, right? And only gave us one mouth. There was purpose in that. So we could hear. We should hear twice as much as we speak. Be swift to hear. Are you swift, ready to hear the word of God? Or do you talk too much and you don't listen to the word of God? We need to be swift to hear, ready to hear just what the Lord is saying. The New Believer's Bible commentary says, hurry up and hear. It means that we should be ready to hear the word of God as well as all godly counsel and admonition. We should be swift to hear, ready to hear. You know, many of us listen to music, and you know, some of it's not Christian music. And just we can sing all those words. But do we listen to the word of God? And can we quote what Jesus says? We can quote the music. Can we quote the word of God? Can we quote what Pastor Tom said this morning? We heard it. We should be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Adam Clark says, talk little and work much. Work at listening. Work at hearing God's word. Number 28, be slow to speak. Look at the same verse. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And that word slow means to be dull, inactive. Our mouth, our speech should be inactive so that we can listen and hear. But I know many times that's not me. I'm quick to speak. Sometimes I don't listen to my children as I ought. Sometimes I've got the TV going and somebody comes in and talks, and if I don't turn off the TV, you know, I am really not hearing just what they're saying. But we should be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Inactive. Jameson Fawcett and what Brown says, two ears are just given to us. Well, these rabbis observe, but only one tongue. The ears are just open and exposed, whereas the tongue is walled in behind the teeth. And you know, sometimes we need to bite our tongue, don't we? And not say anything. Sometimes we speak too soon. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Are you slow to speak? Are you able to hold your tongue? Are you able to hold your tongue? That's not easy. Number 29. Still in the same verse. James 1 verse 19. And just again says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And again, that word slow means dull, inactive. Slow to wrath, inactive to wrath. And that word wrath means violent passion, anger. And boy, some of us fly off the handle. We're quick to wrath. Just light my fuse and let me go. I am part Irish, and I know that, boy, I get fired up real quick. Real quick. Especially driving on these roads around here. It doesn't take much to have somebody cut you off, somebody not stop at a stop sign, or somebody driving too slow. Wow. Slow to wrath. Dull. Inactive to become angry. We should be controlled. Controlled. Albert Barnes says, we are to govern and restrain our temper. We are not to give indulgence to excited and angry passions. Are you slow to wrath? Are you slow to wrath? Or do you give in to passion quickly? Quickly. New Believer's Bible commentator just Terry says, a man just who is quick-tempered does not produce the kind of just righteousness which God expects from his children. Don't be quick-tempered. Ask God to help you control that passion to get angry. You know, I know sometimes I need it driving down the road. You can talk with Cody. He's smirking because he knows, man, driving is one of my pet peeves. how some people drive. Next, number 30 says be perfect. Just previously, just we had be what perfect and entire. But this one is just plain be perfect. Turn with me to it. 2 Corinthians 13, please. 2 Corinthians 13. And I know it's already up on the screen. I made a mistake there, it looks like. See, that verse says, finally, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Paul says, what to the Corinthians? And they were Corinthians. Be perfect. Now, they had just dealt with sin in the church, remember? Sexual sin was in the church. They had just dealt with that. Now he tells them, be perfect. And that word perfect means to be sound, complete, thoroughly. Yeah, I know God is still working on me because I'm not there at all. In fact, some days I don't think I'm close. But be perfect. Be perfect. John Gill says, seek after perfection in knowledge, grace, and holiness, and in the performance of good works, or be restored, or were jointed and just knit together as before. Are you perfect? If you're perfect, put your hands up. That's what I thought. Be perfect. Be perfect. Number 31. Same verse. Farewell, brethren. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. And that word of what good comfort means, be encouraged. Be encouraged. We all need encouragement, don't we? Life is hard. Life is tough. Bad things happen to good people. And when sometimes it seems good things happen to bad people. They get away with everything. But we are told, be of good comfort. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. New Believer's Bible Commentary says they had been given strong admonitions by the Apostle Paul. And so here he tells them to receive these admonitions in a good spirit and to act on them. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. How's your comfort or encouragement? Do you need encouragement? Go to the Word of God and read. And read. There was a time in just my life I was fighting deep, deep depression. I would go to work and I would come home, and this was before I just was even married. I was in my 20s. Come home and I would just sit on the sofa and just read chapter after chapter after chapter. And you know, that carried me through a lot of things. A lot of things. Be encouraged. Yeah, life is tough, man. Life is hard. Life is lonely. Be encouraged. Spend time with God. Number 32. Be of one mind. Same verse. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Paul again speaking here to the Corinthians. First he says, be perfect. Be of good comfort. And now thirdly, be of one mind. And he's speaking to the believers, to the church, to the brethren. So of just one mind means agreed together. Cherish the same views. Be harmonious. Lord willing, just we're going to need this verse when we get a new pastor. We're going to need to be of one mind. And we're going to need to work on that. Be of one mind. Be agreed together. Be harmonious. The Believer's Bible Commentary says the only way, of course, in which Christians can be of this one mind is to have the mind of Christ. We need that mind of Christ. Be of one mind. Now, Christ doesn't want division, but there should be harmony, and there should be peace among us. Be of one mind. It is to think as what he thinks. To bring all their thoughts and just reasonings and just objection to Him. So the application, are just you of just one mind is with others when it comes to the things of God. Not that we agree on the same kind of food, right? Some here just might will like it spicy, spicy hot. Some others like it bland, no taste at all. But this isn't what this is talking about. He's talking to the believers. Be of one mind. Be harmonious. I believe we have this. We need to keep this. Number 33. Be patient. Be patient. This is a fruit of the Spirit, as we have talked about this in what Sunday school before. And so turn just with me to James 5, 7, please. James 5, verse 7. James 5, 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, just unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman just waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain." Notice what it says. Be patient, brethren. Again, James speaking to the church. Be patient, because sometimes we're not with one another. And that word patient means to be mild and slow in avenging, or to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. None of us like to suffer long, do we? But that's what the verse says. Be patient. Put up with each other. Put up with each other. Sometimes we offend each other. Sometimes because we're not slow to speak, we call someone else not to be heard, and that offends them. We need to be patient with each other, long suffering, putting up with each other, bearing one another's burdens. Albert Barnes says those whom he addressed were doubtless suffering under those just oppressions, and just his object was to induce them just to bear their wrongs without just murmuring. And just without resistance. Oh, man. If somebody steps on my toes, I want to let them know about it, right? But no, we're told to be patient. Put up with each other. That's what you know. I've got seven weekly Bible studies. And man, some of those people are not patient towards each other. Bob is smirking because... Bob and Ellen, no. Man, no patience at all. No patience at all. If you step on their toes, boy, they step right back. They stomp right back. No patience. Some of them say, "I don't have any patience for anybody." And that is true. But if you have the Spirit of God living in you, He's here speaking to the believers. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering, patience. Putting up with each other. We need to do that on a daily basis. So the application, are just you patient toward others? Are you patient toward others? Do you suffer long for the sake of others? Do you put up with others? Or do you just let them have it? Both barrels. Number 34, it says, be fellow helpers. Be fellow helpers. Turn with me to 3 John 1:8, please. 3 John 1:8. And it reads thus, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." We should be fellow helpers to the truth, not hindering the truth. And that word fellow helper means to labor together. We should be working together, not against one another. Working together. Fellow laborers, fellow helpers laboring together. Albert Barnes says all Christians cannot go forth to preach the gospel, but all just may contribute something just to support those who do. working together, laboring together for the gospel's sake. So in this case, they would have a joint participation in the work of spreading the truth. We should be laboring together, working together, praying together, supporting together, fellow helpers together. Are you laboring together to serve God? One of the greatest blessings is what having Bob and Ellen working and just working with me in the nursing homes. Five of them, I would go alone to. But to have somebody else there was such a blessing. My son Timothy, I just preach at Eastwood once a month. And since Timothy was 9 years old, he has gone with me almost every Sunday to that nursing home, laboring together. What a blessing. What a blessing to labor together for the sake of the gospel. If Tim's not there, where's your son? If Miss Ellen isn't there, where's Miss Ellen? And not so much Bob. See, that's because she is always bearing gifts, okay? So they look for Miss Ellen to walk in the door. They're waiting for Miss Ellen to walk in the door because she's got the goodie bag most of the time. It's not Bob. That's why. Sorry, Bob. But are you laboring together to serve God? We should be doing that in this place. Laboring together, working together. Number 35. Now we're going to start with some be nots. Be not high-minded. Be not high-minded. Turn with me to just Romans 11, verse 20, please. Romans 11, verse 20. That verse says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. And that word high-minded means to be lofty in mind. That is arrogant, proud. Yeah, I know some people like that. Proud, arrogant. And they think they're better than you. And God's word says, be not high-minded. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be not high-minded. Don't think too highly of what yourself. John Gill says, the apostle would have them not be elated with their gifts, privileges, and enjoyments. Yeah. And look over others. Or down upon them, just with contempt and disdain, considering that all they had and enjoyed were owing to the goodness of God. Just remember that. What you have, God has given you. He has given you. And He can always take it away just as you've gotten it. It can be gone just like that. Be not high-minded. So application, are you proud or arrogant? Are you proud or arrogant? Be not high-minded. Number 36. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Turn with me just to Luke 21, verse 8, please. Luke 21, 8. Luke 21, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. And what Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Be not deceived. Take heed that ye be not deceived. There are just many false teachers, false prophets, false Christs in the world. We need to not be deceived. And that word deceive means to lead away from the truth. And to be led into error, or just to go astray to sin. Don't be deceived. False teachers deceive us. The devil tries to deceive us. He's a trickster. Be not deceived. Matthew Henry says, those that are most inquisitive in the things of God, though it is very good to be so, are in most danger of just being him opposed upon, and of most need to be upon their guard. But you know, we're all told to be on guard. Be on guard. So that we are not deceived. Be not deceived. Are you being deceived? Led away by the truth. And you know, that usually doesn't happen in a quick period of time. That is usually a slow descent. Just when I think about this verse, I would think about friends. So many Christians have bad friends that lead them astray, that lead them down the wrong path. So as a single person, you can be deceived by who you date. Be not deceived. Be not led astray. Number 37, be not ignorant. Be not ignorant. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3:8, please. Be not ignorant. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Be not ignorant. Be not ignorant. And that word ignorant means to be hidden from one, secretly, unaware, without knowing. See, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Sunday school last week, we were talked about the spirit of revelation. Just the Holy Spirit and just reveals things to us, right? He makes it known. We shouldn't be ignorant. We have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God. Be not ignorant. Adam Clark says, though they are just willfully ignorant, neglect not ye the means of instruction. Don't neglect your personal time in the Word of God. Do it daily. Do it often. Don't neglect it. Don't be ignorant. Be not ignorant. The application, are you in some way ignorant? Change that. Change that. You don't know a subject about the Word of God, about Christ? Read it. Find out for yourself. Read the Word of God for yourself. Be not ignorant. Number 38, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Matthew 14:27, please. Matthew 14:27. And again, Jesus speaking. But straightway, Jesus just spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You know, I can just picture this. There is Jesus, he has been resurrected, and he just appeared in the same room the disciples are. Be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. And that word afraid means to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, to fear exceedingly. They were seeing somebody who was dead, right? They were seeing somebody who they had just saw die on a cross. But he's not dead. So he tells them, be not afraid, for it is I. New Believer's Bible Commentary says, how true to our own experience. We are often storm-tossed, perplexed, in despair. The Savior seems far away, But all the time he is praying for us. When the night seems darkest, he is near at hand. He's right there. Call upon him. Trust him. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Fear sometimes stops us from doing what we ought. Be not afraid. So the application, are you afraid? If you're a Christian, recognize he is near. Recognize he is right there with you. He is above you. He is below you. He is to your right. He is to your left. He is inside you and he is all around you. Recognize he is near. He is near. Wait, I thought I had 39. Hold on a second. I do not. I have 39. Oh, yeah, 38. Okay, sorry. That was the last one. I thought I had one more. All these things we should be, and what few things we should be not. Let's be these things. Let's be living for Jesus in all that we do, seeking to serve him. But let's be not those things as well. That we should not be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Lord, thank you. Thank you just for these bees and these be nots. Father, help us to be living for you. May we not be doing those things that we shouldn't be. But may we put all these things in the practice, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.